2 Timothy chapter 1 in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, come down to verse 16. Inside your bulletin, trust you have one, a rather lengthy outline for today. In fact, it takes up a whole, usually it's about a half of an 8.5 by 11. This one, the entire 8.5 by 11, but there's enough space for you to add some meat to the skeleton. I always call the outline a skeleton, and any notes you add to it is the meat. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Speaking of lengthy sermons, Brother Jerry and I were talking during the fellowship time, and you know Brother Jerry, you don't know when to take him serious or not. He was talking about some of my sermons causes him to nod off to sleep, so I guess he was being halfway serious. Reminds me of a story one time, a lady's husband continually, every Sunday, every service, would nod off to sleep early on, just doze off right there on the pew, and I've seen those in churches before doze off with my preaching or without my preaching, so he would do this just about every Sunday and would even have a little bit of snoring going on. And so Lucille, his wife, went to the pastor after several of these times and said, "What can we do about Leroy sleeping?" He said, "Well, here's what I would suggest. He's got this real brushy mustache, so the next time he goes to sleep in church, just take you a little piece of Lindberger cheese. Little piece of Lindberger cheese and lay it there gently on his mustache right beneath his nostrils." So the very next Sunday, lo and behold, as usual, he dozed off. Early on in the service, Lucille did what the preacher said, reached in her purse, got a little piece of Lindberger cheese, gently placed it on top of his brushy mustache. A few seconds later, Leroy jerked, woke up and said, "Shoo-wee, Lucille, get your feet off my pillow." Amen. So he recognized that smell. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Someone has said, and rightfully so, we are not put on this earth to see through each other, but to see each other through. You may want to jot that down on your outline sheet. We're not put on this earth to see through each other, but to see each other through. To see each other through our disappointments, our discouragements, our problems, our pressures, our trials, our testings, all of these kind of things. So I want to preach this morning on this subject. Let's revive, let's refresh the refreshers. Or a subtitle, Encouragers Needed Now. Anybody in the room today need a little encouragement? Anybody today need encouragement some of the time? Or maybe it's more truthfully said, most of the time. I imagine there's one or two or a few in here today that might need a dose of encouragement. So let's look today at this subject. Let's revive, let's refresh the refreshers. Encouragers needed now. And I hope this message won't allow you to doze off, not off to sleep. 2 Timothy chapter 1, come down to verse 16. The Apostle Paul writes, and we believe this was his last epistle before his death. It's called a prison epistle. He's writing this epistle in prison. You even find his own personal biography in chapter 4, particularly verses 6 through 13, the Apostle Paul's kind of his last words of his biography. So he pens these words here in verse 16, 17, and 18. Notice. "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus." Boy, that's a name for you, isn't it? Amen. I'm glad my Bible has it broken down in syllables. Helps me pronounce it better. Onesiphorus. Notice what follows. For he hath refreshed me. That's what it says if you've got your King James Bible. For he oft or often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Paul was chained in prison to a prison guard, and they changed guards every 4 hours. Can you imagine being chained to the Apostle Paul? Who was the real prisoner, him or the guard? And we believe he led many to Christ in his prison experience. Look at verse 17. But when he was in Rome, Onesiphorus, he sought me out very diligently. He looked for me with great purpose and found me. Verse 18, the Lord grant unto him, Onesiphorus, that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Onesiphorus never wrote a book in the Bible, never had a church to pastor, never preached a sermon as far as we know. But what a tribute the Apostle Paul gives to this one named Onesiphorus. Underline the phrase in verse 16. This is our main theme verse and thought. For he oft refreshed me. There are four kinds of church members that I've discovered in these over 40 years. Four kind of church members. I don't mean to oversimplify this, but I believe this kind of captures the majority, if not all, church members. Four kinds. I wonder today which one of these four describes you. Notice on your outline sheet, number one, there's the reprobates. The reprobates. Those are the miserable ones. Those are the ones who always have a frown on their face, sitting there in church, never, seldom a smile. They just get mad. They look mad. They're upset at the least little thing. Arms folded like this and always kind of indicating or saying, move me if you can, preacher, move me if you can. Look like a bump on a rollie. Many of these, unfortunately, are lost church members, unsaved church members. They have maybe Jesus in their head, but never got him in their heart. And our churches are filled with the reprobates, the lost church members, the miserable ones. Then number two, they're the rebukers. And I pastored, by the way, all four of them. The rebukers, they're the ones never satisfied with anything, can never be pleased, always criticizing or complaining, always negative, pessimistic, always responding in the wrong way. One of those kind was kind of like Leroy we alluded to, dozed off to sleep one Sunday. Well, in the preacher's message, the pastor said, all who want to go to heaven, please stand up. So everyone stood up except old Charlie over here, who was dozed off. But after everybody sat down, the little boy next to him jabbed old Charlie in the ribs. Charlie roused up, stood up and said, well, preacher, I don't know what we're voting for, but it looks like you and me are the only ones against it. Amen. That's what the rebukers often say. Then number three, notice, they're the resters. The resters. They're the ones just always resting, just there on the pew, most Sundays after Sundays, just along for the ride, easy come, easy go, those who are always at ease in Zion. Heard about a church one Sunday having an old-fashioned testimony meeting. Everyone was standing up like popcorn, sharing a word of testimony, especially looking forward to the coming of the Lord, except one over there, old Brother Jones. Just sat there, kind of arms folded, and didn't really nudge, certainly didn't participate. The pastor looked over to Brother Jones and said, "Brother Jones, surely this morning you could share a word of testimony like everyone else." And Brother Jones said, "Well, Pastor, I'm just so tired. I think I'll just sit here and rest a while." So it continued on a little longer. Then finally the pastor, in frustration, said, "Brother Jones, surely you've got something to be thankful for." "Well, Pastor, I'm just so tired. I think I'll sit here and rest." Then the pastor said, "Well, Brother Jones, listen, one day we're going to have a service just for you. We're going to roll you down the aisle in a casket, placed you here in the front. We're going to sing some songs. I'm going to say some words over you. Then we're going to roll you back out of the church, out to the cemetery, and there we're going to lay you to rest. And Brother Jones, then you can just rest and rest and rest." To that, Brother Jones, the rester, said, "Well, preacher, with my luck, the next day will be the resurrection day, and I'll have to get up." Amen. That'll really put cold water on a testimony service. But then number four, you have not only the reprobates, the rebukers, the resters, but notice number four, you do have some in the church that are the refreshers. The refreshers. The encouragers. Notice again our text there in verse 16 concerning Onesiphorus, Paul's tribute to him. He commended him for what? "He often refreshed me." The refreshers. Let me give you three things about them. Number one, the refreshers, they relieve our pressures, our problems. Look at that word refresh. "He oft refreshed me." There in the Greek, translating your King James refresh, it means this further. Here's further translation of this Greek word. It means to cool down or to chill by blowing of one's breath across it. How many has ever heard of one who is a breath of fresh air? That's what it means. They're a refresher. They're an encourager. Just make sure there's not much garlic or onion involved. Kind of get witness right there. They relieve our pressures. You ever had that person that what they said or did was like a breath of fresh air in your life? You're going through a tough time, a discouraging time, disappointing time, frustrating time, and there's that person that comes along there in your church, and they just supply a breath of fresh air. They relieve our pressures. But then notice number two. Here's the one that has some subpoints. The refreshers also respond to our problems. Now we'll give you six ways refreshers respond to our problems. And if you're looking A through E, you're saying, "Well, preach, that's only five." Well, I want you to add after E, squeeze in number F, a sixth one that I overlooked but should not have overlooked because it might just be the most important. So add to this before we get to it, F, by their praying, by their prayers. So let's look at how refreshers respond to our problems. Number one, by their presence. Just being there. Not necessarily saying many words, if any words at all. You ever had that person come into your life in a situation, maybe particularly at a time maybe of death of a loved one? And they come to the funeral home or maybe to your home and they really don't say anything, if anything at all, but just their presence. Their mere presence sends out a message to you, something along the line of, "I really care for you. I'm here for you." I've had those in these 40 plus years who respond to our problems by just their presence. They don't often speak many words at all, but they're there with you, and you know that. Their presence means a lot to you. Speaks volumes, not with words, but just their mere presence. That's what that kind of refresher does. And then notice, secondly, not only with their presence, but they respond to our problems with their pen. P-E-N. You ever get a card from somebody at an unexpected but a very appropriate time? There in our church in Greensboro, and I've preached this message through the years, so her name is still in my notes. Had a little lady there at Florida Street Baptist Church named Mrs. Bozeman. Mrs. Bozeman, she wasn't a theologian. She didn't teach a Sunday school class. She was a senior adult, like most in this room. Little white-haired lady, and under the lights had that little blue tint. And I don't know if you ever looked in the corner of her mouth if you saw a little bit of snuff or not, but she's one of those senior adults. But she had a pen that could refresh. She would send me notes, either mail or many times hand deliver. I remember one time one of her notes kind of had these words in it: "Preacher Andy, you're such a handsome preacher and a wonderful preacher." So I would often tell her, "You're half right, you know. I'm really not that good a preacher, but I guess I'm handsome, amen." You know, it kind of strokes your ego, if you know what I mean, just with her pen. And I've had many others. You ever got that card? Or a little note? Somebody who just knew how to put it in words with their pen. Some of y'all could be that kind of refresher. You might not be able to speak it, but maybe you can write a card and send to somebody that needs refreshing. So I'll always remember Mrs. Bozeman and her accuracy when she said, "You're such a handsome preacher and such a wonderful preacher." With their presence, with their pen. But then notice refreshers relieve our problems with their purse. They have the gift of giving. Never forget one of our deacons. My dad worked with him years ago when they were young at the Standard Chair Company. I believe that's the name of it here in Thomasville. Cliff Kennedy. Cliff Kennedy, prince of a man. He even rode the moving truck with Brother Aaron Clodfelder, who's now in heaven. Brother Clodfelder moved me and Joyce several times through the years. He came all the way to Jacksonville, Florida in 1982 to move us back to Thomasville to pastor at Southgate Baptist Church. And Brother Cliff Kennedy wanted to ride with Aaron Clodfelder there to Jacksonville, Florida to help move us back. And through the years at Southgate, I can't ever remember a time going on vacation when Brother Cliff came up and would shake your hand, but there in his hand would be a little green piece of paper with a president on it, Ben Franklin. That's my favorite one. That was a $100 bill just to help us go on vacation. You ever had that person that had that gift of giving, their purse? And they gave you something maybe at a needed time. They had that gift of giving. They helped relieve your pressure with their purse. Then number four, notice they relieve our pressure with their praise. Encouraging words. Now these are the refreshers who know what to say and when to say it. Maybe when you're down, maybe several times through the years, it seemed like I would preach a sermon that bombed out, if you know what I mean. Sometimes I can be thinking while I'm preaching. Man, I can't imagine how people sit there enduring this. Really, those thoughts go through my mind when I'm vocally or verbally preaching out something. I'm sitting there thinking, this is terrible. No wonder they're nodding. No wonder Jerry's nodding off to sleep. But then when the sermon is over, people will come through the line, maybe just that one, who will say, you know what, preacher? I needed that today. That message touched my heart. I'll never forget Ruth L. and Leon Irby. When they visited Southgate Baptist Church for the first time, they went on to join and were great leaders there. Leon, a great deacon, and Ruth L. Did the kitchen. That was her gift, to handle the kitchen and preparing food. And their first Sunday at Southgate, looking for a church home. I'll never forget, I had a message planned to preach, had studied it probably all that week, had it right fine-tuned, and probably when the choir was singing, just before I got up to preach, that Holy Spirit said, that's not the one. Not the message you thought you were going to preach, but I want you to preach Romans 8:28. For all things work together, not good, but for good, to them who are called according to his purpose. After that service, with tears coming down her cheek, Ruth L. Irby, I never met her before, when she came through, said, I know why you preached that message. That was a message I needed to hear today. Words of praise, words of encouragement, appreciation. Those people who are able just to say those things at the right time. Then number five, notice refreshers refresh us with their productivity, their encouraging work. Especially those who don't want any pat on the back, who don't want any recognition, who work behind the scenes, just there to be a help. I want to brag on Marcia's new husband here. I want to tell him I appreciate him being the doorman on Sunday morning. Have you recognized that he's there to greet you and help open the door? And then today do the coffee and the donuts. What a blessing. Had another great deacon there at Southgate named Mr. Bray. Mr. Bray was a senior adult and a wonderful deacon, always wanting to know what he could do for me. Do you need your lawnmowers fixed? The oil changed, the blade sharpened, if a clock went wrong, could fix a clock. The man was just gifted and just worked behind the scenes. But he was a refresher. He was an encourager. And then six that I asked you to add to the list. Notice, refreshers relieve our pressures, our problems, by their praying. Those who really know how to get a hold of God, like Miss Thelma right here. And in Jacksonville, Florida, had a little lady, I remembered her name, Miss McCord. Miss Ida McCord. Lived three or four houses down from Macedonia Baptist Church, my very first church, 1979 to 1982, before I came back to Thomasville. Miss McCord was one of those that needed a ride to church and to get helped in. She was probably in her 80s. But a lot of times she couldn't come to church. Not that she didn't want to, but that she couldn't. But let me tell you something. Let me give you a little insight. That was my first church. As a young pastor, I was green as grass. I had to learn how to swim. They threw me in the water and had to learn how to swim as a preacher. And I remember quite a few times walking down Cahoon Road three or four houses down from the church, not to visit Miss McCord, but to ask her to pray for me. I want to tell you something. That little 80-some-year-old lady knew how to get a hold of the throne of grace. Sat there in her living room, her quaint little house, simple little house, lived by herself, 80-some years old, but you ought to hear her pray. She knew how to pray. She could get a hold of the throne of grace like Miss Stelma. You see, those kind of refreshers are the kinds we really need. All of those other five are important, but I believe those refreshers who do it with or by their praying, those are the ones that really give you that uplift. So let me ask you today, which refresher are you? By your presence, by your pen, by your purse, by your praise, by your work productivity, by your praying? Are you a refresher? Can you be? Should you be a refresher? And then notice lastly, number three. Not only do they relieve our pressures, respond to our problems, but notice number three, what the refresher has to look forward to. They reap the rewards. In Hebrews chapter 6, if you just go from 2 Timothy to the right, you'll go through Titus, Philemon, then you'll come to Hebrews. Listen to chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews 6, verse 10. The Bible says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." A refresher is a minister. They're a servant. They minister as they serve. They serve as they minister. And what the Word of God is saying is here, God does not allow it to go unnoticed. If you're a refresher, no one else may really notice it. No one else may pat you on the back. No one else may brag on you. But listen, God sees. God sees who is the doorman at the house of God. God sees who's the prayer warrior. God sees who does that work behind the scenes. God sees who has the gift of giving. God sees who writes that simple little note or card. God sees who just shows up and has your presence there. We need to revive to refresh the refreshers. Encouragers are needed now.